Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're going to talk this evening about the Billy Meier case. And I'd like to remind you that if you want to see a little information on the Meier stuff, take a look at exopoliticsohio.us. If you Google Ohio Exopolitics, you'll find the appropriate websites. Billy Meier is a man who lives in Switzerland. He lives in a tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidruti. He's nearly 80 years old. He's written over 40 books and over 2,000 contact reports, hundreds and hundreds of documents and bulletins. His writing is, there's nothing like it. There's nobody else that has the information that he does. It's wisdom like no other kind of wisdom. Tonight we're going to talk about something. One of the topics is going to be from his book called The Way to Live. And this book talks about striving. And striving is what they call a creational natural law. According to Meier information, there is a universal consciousness. And this universal intelligence, it doesn't act like a god. It's not a heavenly father. It's a neutral, positive spirit form. And it creates universes as a part of its own evolution. And it has created something in the human being's nature called striving. It is the human being's nature, as it is with every other living thing, animals, plants, to strive. It is part of what they call eternal evolution. And that means that we're programmed to strive for that which is higher and that which is more fully developed. Therefore, the human being, we should be striving for knowledge and wisdom. And if we do strive for knowledge and wisdom, then we'll be happier. If we don't, then we can literally become suicidal. Is a German prefix signifying the most ancient, primal, earliest initial. So this urge to strive is one of the most ancient, primal kind of urges that we have. And the human being that follows creational striving will long for rationality, he'll long for intelligence, for logic, he will long for understanding and recognizing. We're going into something now called the Age of Aquarius, and it pushes forward with an incredible power. This age spurs on the striving of the human being. The reason we're pushed to strive is because of a kind of radiation that's coming out of the central sun of our galaxy. And let me read a little bit from Contact Report 9 that talks about the central sun and the energy that we're being bathed in. It says, the characteristics for this time, it's rapidly evolving events, discoveries, invention, etc., are unlike any other during any previous time. The whole star system, along with its innumerable creatures, are now under the influence and the control of this new age. Each and every living thing is influenced by it because these changes fall under cosmic natural laws. It is the time of the new renewal. And this renewal and this time do not want to believe any longer, nor be connected any longer to assumption. Rather, they solely want to know. So this is one of the things of this new age that we're in, is that people want to know rather than believe in things. In this Contact Report 9, Billy has had many, many contacts with extraterrestrial humans going back to a time when he was about 5 years old, growing up in northern Switzerland, in Belak, Switzerland. He started having contacts with a very elderly extraterrestrial human named Svath. Svath was from a race of beings that called themselves the Plaiar, and these human beings live some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space-time configuration. And one of these beings, one of these human beings named Svath, was Billy's mentor for the first 11 years of his life. And Svath taught Billy many, many things. And one of the things that Billy learned about during his studies was this Age of Aquarius. Now, Contact Report 9, as I mentioned, didn't occur until many, many years later, until Billy was, it was in the mid-1970s. Billy's contacts with Svath were right around 45, starting in 45. In Contact Report 9, Billy is speaking with his third extraterrestrial contact, a woman named Semyase. Let me continue here. Reading part of Contact Report 9, it says, the origin of these epochal changes is inside the changing radiation effects from the central sun, around which your entire system cycles once every 25,860 years, passing through 12 individual epochs, similar to within the terminology of your zodiac. The Earth has already passed through into the outermost preliminary borders of this golden radiation coming from the central sun, which is of the strongest and most revolutionary radiation of all. So that's, this radiation is affecting us. It makes us want to fathom things, to research, to recognize things. It pushes us into the deepest part of our inner self, precisely according to this creational law, being that ultimately all knowledge, all recognition, all grasping and experience for all things can only arise out of the deepest depths of the human consciousness. Therefore, the innermost part of the human being, him or herself. So you can't really force anyone to believe anything. They have to come to knowledge through their innermost self. So let's continue here to talk about striving. Striving creates the life right up to the being. Striving means something called delectation. Delectation means delight. It means a happiness. To be without striving means that we will have affliction. We'll have an inhibited life. And if your striving is decreased, remember, striving is always working. You're always working towards something. Even if it's small tasks in your home, that's all part of the striving. Striving, inhibited striving will bring stagnation. It will cause hopelessness, grief. You'll have confusion, irrationality, joylessness, cognitionlessness. You'll lose your sense of peace. You'll have disharmony. You'll have lose your sense of love. You'll have resentment. Sometimes this inhibited striving can cause self-deceit, can cause lies, and reluctance for life. This is how important it is to follow this whole idea of striving. Now, that's what's so interesting about Billy's writings. You have this very fascinating information that's very unusual, as well as this very down-to-earth, very useful information. Here on page 148, it's talking a little bit about something that's related to striving. Let me read this here. It says, and those are the human beings in whom the stagnation, remember, lack of striving leads to stagnation, called forth by religions and sects through wrong philosophies and irrational worldviews, slowly but surely dissolves in order to conceive the light of creational truth, and thereby the striving, conditioned by creational law, its appropriate place in order to effectively, evolutively effective in the life, striving will be effective for evolution in your life, but also there is striving in death. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that this evening. So this universal intelligence is the intelligence which created our universe. And it has created these laws of nature, one of which is striving. So if you'll dedicate yourself to striving, it will for sure help you to remain happier, and you'll have more pleasure and delight in your life. You'll have more extreme satisfaction. In fact, striving means pleasure and delight. And this is a very huge statement that Billy is making. Another important creational natural law is the law of harmony. And that means that we need to have neutrality in our thinking in everyday life. One of the things that I remember about neutrality is that, you know, we're neither negative or positive. You can be neutral positive. It's the best way to be, neutral positive. Apply neutrality quite conclusively makes everyday life easier. So that's one thing you should always ask yourself. Am I being neutral? Am I maintaining my neutral perspective? If you're not striving and you're not neutral in your thinking, you'll have two things which occur to you. You'll have an unwillingness, a kind of a reluctance, which will come over your life. So when we stop striving, it makes us unwilling to do things. And I've noticed in my own life that when I stop striving, then suddenly I feel like I have lost a lot of motivation and focus. Essentially, I become unwilling to do much of anything. Affliction is another thing that can happen from a lack of striving in your life. Affliction is when something causes us pain or suffering. If we stop striving for too long, we will experience pain, suffering, distress, grief, misery. Now, grief is a kind of keen mental suffering. It's a distress. It's a painful regret. It's a sharp sorrow. And one of the ways you can deal with grief, if you're having some grief right now that you're fighting with, is meditation. And meditation has a large, important, very good set of useful effects. And one of the ways, one of the points of meditation is to control your thinking. And I can show you a little exercise. This isn't from the Billy Meyer material. I've kind of picked this up from various different places. I don't even claim it's my own. But if you'll think, okay, what we're trying to do with meditation is to control your thinking. So imagine first a blue sky. And then you can say the word blue in your mind five times. Blue, 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 and imagine a blue sky. Blue, blue. So for 5 seconds, you control your thinking. You're not thinking about anything else besides this blue sky. Now, think about a green hillside and say green, 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 green. So now you control your thoughts for 10 seconds. Now think about a yellow sun and just say the word yellow 5 times in your mind. Yellow, 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 yellow. So now you control your thoughts for 15 seconds. So now say the word red and think of a red sun. that's setting, say it red, 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 red. So now you've controlled your thoughts for 20 seconds. So that's the start of your meditation. So you've managed to control your thinking for 20 seconds, and that's a good start. So meditation can help bring us back to neutrality, because your striving can actually be uncomfortable if you're not neutral. Interesting thing about striving is it continues into death, and we'll talk about that more in a second. If you lose your sense of striving, you lose your sense of life. Now, to strive means to make great efforts to achieve or obtain something. And the universal consciousness is sometimes referred to as the Wesenheit in the German, and it has imbued this power of striving into all of its creatures. So striving is the power of the spiritual and the physical, and striving is an incontrovertible creational law. And in order to reach our goal of a higher evolved consciousness, we have to continually strive. Now, the lack of striving leads me to another concept in the Meyer Information called the anti-logos. And the Meyer Information has some information that says the anti-logos is the child of evil, the child of ruin, and it's a deadly opponent against knowledge. Billy's second contact was a woman from a parallel universe to ours. Her name is Asket, and one of the contact reports is called Asket's Explanations Part 1. And this is what Asket had to say. She said, "It is the task of each more highly developed life form to stand alongside less developed forms with help in responsible measure to influence the evolution in appropriate strength. This obligation is incumbent on all life forms of all universes because, again, it is based with a creational law." So another creational law is if you're a little more evolved than someone else, you're obligated to help them in some way with their evolution. If a human being is at a point where they cannot strive, then they'll feel like they're not no longer of use in any way. Contact Report 38 talks about this idea of evolution. Again, the course of evolution belongs to the high and the highest forms of life, just as it also does to the low and the lowest forms. This is a creational law of evolution, which possesses its validity for all time, and it is never subject to any kind of alterations. So this law of striving, this law of evolution, applies to all kinds of life. One of the creational laws is that higher forms of people with higher evolution should be willing to help those with less. Now, to get back to this whole concept of striving, if you stop striving, you will feel very bad. If you're going through a very bad time in your life, it could be because you've slowed down your striving. So pick that up. There's a German word called Gewaltsamkeit, and Gewalt is something above all might and force. It's very difficult to translate into English. And the term Gewaltsamkeit is translated in certain German online dictionaries of violence, but that doesn't capture the full meaning. But this lack of striving can lead to this state of Gewaltsamkeit, which is a very bad state. Striving is our nature as human beings. And if our nature, if our striving gets nullified, then you'll feel like you don't belong in the world anymore. and you'll feel like you want to vanish from it. Now, one of Billy's writings is called The Goblet of Truth. We've been talking about passages from The Way to Live, but The Goblet of Truth has something to say along these lines. It says, and this is page 35, it says, "Finding fulfillment through truth is, however, associated with lots of work and requires the capacity to endure, because it is important to take responsibility and quite consciously strive to fulfill one's task as a human being and to fathom the understanding of the things in life through effort." So, if your striving has broken down and you feel like you're incapable of life, if you feel displeased with life, if you're even suicidal, there are some reasons for these feelings, and they're discussed in Contact Report 583. And believe it or not, Billy is speaking with one of his later contacts, Patah, and they're talking about music. And Billy says in Contact Report 583 to Patah, he says, "About which I would once like to hear your professional view lies in the following question. Can you tell me in short and simple words how stress and physical inactivity, as well as various types of music, affect the life itself, the quality of the life, and the life period of the human being? Indeed, we have often privately spoken about this, but never in detail, in an official wise, which is why I think this is necessary once. Therefore, I ask openly for that." And Patah says, "As is well known to you, a stressful mode of life, not only due to work overload, but also in every other respect, and a physical movement inactivity, as well as jealousy, strife, grief, hatred, and discord, has an effect very badly on the entire body, and often even rather maliciously. And indeed, on the one hand, due to psychosomatic, as well as ultimately also due to affective sufferings that can lead up to severe chronic illnesses, as well as bodily harms and heart problems, or even death." And Billy says, "Behind the whole thing, I still see very much more the tremendous noise of the present day is arranged with dreadful disharmonic crashing and bellowing, which is crazily referred to as music, has insanely stupid forms, driving right through one's marrow and bones, and unhinges compulsive depression and unsatisfaction. So be careful what music you listen to. If you're listening to that cross between rap and heavy metal, you might want to change your music style, because that will take all your sense of striving away. Without striving, there is no life. Without life, there's certain kinds of striving you won't have either." So let's shift gears here. We've been talking about Billy's great book, The Way to Live, about this principle called striving. But I want to jump ship just for a moment and jump over to something right out of recent history. You know, we've had this tremendously intense election, and the Meyer information says if we would have had Clinton win, there would have been a catastrophic global atomic war. And choosing Trump over Clinton avoided a catastrophic global atomic war at this time. And if you go out to Michael Horn's website, there's an interesting article on this. And there's a good link if anyone is theyflyblog.com, and it talks about Here, let me read this excerpt from the contact. This is in contrast to Clinton, who harbors sneaky and evil warmongering thoughts against Russia, and therefore wants to carry military actions against the Russian military in Syria first, and then also wants to carry out war attacks against Russia itself. And I heard on the news tonight more of this nonsense that somehow Russia is attacking us in terms of over the internet in some way. It's all just so transparent. It's so, I cannot believe that our media is completely controlled this way. A fact, let me continue here. A fact in regard to her thoughts of attack, which she, as an enemy of Putin and Russia, has been harboring for a long time, and which she also wants to carry out. And if she won the presidential election, then a nuclear war would be unavoidable. Oh, it looks like I have a caller here. And if they still want to, hello, caller, did you still want to speak?
Yes, 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 my friend, long time not talk to you. How are you, my friend?
Very good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. This is Rez. Anyway, my friend is right now, Ring of Fire is in very high right now since the 8.0 earthquake in New Zealand. And we have had so many sevens yesterday, 6.5 and fives and etc. And California, between Baja, California and Anza, and you know that same area that they were worried last time, they created an earthquake warning for the whole population in California. You know, the same is active again. And San Francisco area. So we are going headed for a big catastrophe, which as Bill Maher also predicted in his time travel in the Contact Report 104 on March 18, 1997, Maher was taken on a time travel trip into the future to witness and photograph the after effect of inevitable mega earthquake event that occurred in San Francisco at unspecified time in the future. So indeed, you know, it's I'm surprised that USGS and they are not even issuing another advisory for the north, the whole area from Vancouver, Canada to San Diego, California. Go ahead, my friend.
Do you think the San Francisco earthquake is coming soon then?
It seems because it was 6.5. We had it like a couple of weeks or 10 days ago, and then we had other major earthquakes came towards the offshore of the California. The first one was 100 miles away from the Greiser. And so it's right now, anything is possible. I mean, we have a rate of 5.9, Mariana Islands, 7 point something we had again today. As you know, you are aware of all the situation, my friend, and your beloved listeners. So it is you need to have water. You need to have, 3 days, 10 days, 20 days, water, food, shelter, because this Bill Maher, it doesn't matter whether it's he saw that in San Francisco, it can happen anywhere down the fault line from Seattle to San Francisco. That's another one, 600. Anything is possible right now with Ring of Fire is massively mad on the planet and the peoples of the earth. Wow. Am I right or wrong, my friend?
You sound right. Has there been any deaths associated with these earthquakes yet?
Unfortunately, the limited reports we got, And New Zealand got like 200 people dead on the 8.0, which six faults went haywire at the same time. That's strange. And this all goes back, my friend. You know why? Because France, you remember 15 or 20 years back, around roughly, they made 10 atomic test bomb close to Australia. You remember they have their own island over there in close to Australia and New Zealand. Do you remember that they did 10 atomic tests?
10? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did, because they could use the highest high technology and use it on the computer. They can stimulate it on the computer and say, okay, we put 100 megaton of atomic bomb. This exploded. What will happen? How much damage will be made? Blah, blah, blah. Computer simulation, it was the best thing they could do. But they went there and they did 10 different tests, and actually they made a hole in the planet as a result.
So
since 15, 20 years, and now Earth is coming back to hunt all of us at the same time. Unfortunately, wherever you live, you are going to have a very big problems, my friend. I know it's Christmas. We don't want have a happy news, happy informations, but unfortunately, since especially Bill Maher, which I'm very familiar with. He's painting from the information that he had, that while he was on the journey with the alien that took him and showed him that what would be happen San Francisco. I mean, come on. I mean, here's countdown for San Francisco.
I mean,
the painting by Ludwig Pesek, page 36-37, September 1977, GEO. I am agree with you, my friend. I never disagree with you. Have you noticed that? I always listen to your show. I always participate in your show, because your show is one of the number one in BTR, indeed.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you calling in. This has been some very interesting information. I always appreciate when that caller does call in and he gives us good information. And I hadn't really been paying attention to these earthquakes, and it looks like yet another thing I'm going to have to pay some attention to. Thanks again for that information. It's good to be reminded of all these predictions, and the San Francisco earthquake is one of the huge things that is in our future. I wanted to get back to the creational natural laws and directives and talk a little bit again about the creation. The creation, again, is the universal consciousness. It's the intelligence of our universe. It is without gender. It is neither a man nor woman. Creation is not time or beyond time. Creation is pure spirit energy in a conscious form. And we've been talking about this creational natural law of striving that controls much of our life on a daily basis. We can take control of our life by applying this creational natural law of striving, to continue to strive for more knowledge, to continue to work at every aspect of your life. Again, even if it's just your daily chores around your house. But continue to try to push your thinking. Now, in order for you to have success and advancement, you have to have what's called pensive thought. This is another creational natural law. Pensive thought is deep reflection, serious thought. If you have pensive thought, it tends to make your life safer. Very, very important. Focus on deep reflection, serious thought in your life. Now, we've talked a little bit about creational natural laws, one of which is striving, continually working at your day job, working at your hobbies like the Meyer material. Continue to work to learn these things, work at anything you enjoy. Work, you will find the greatest happiness in your life comes through your striving. Another creational natural law is love. And you should have love for all things, because everything in the universe is actually one. We don't realize that yet. We don't understand that yet. But everything is one. And the kind of love you should have is love that's based on respect, of veneration. It's a wisdom-conditioned love that's always constant. Romantic love is artificial love, and that's what's emphasized today in our world. And that's why we have so many breakups and we have so much problem with relationships, because we forgot that true love is based on respect. It's also a fine, sensitive feeling. It comes from your spiritual consciousness. So the law of love is one of the creational natural laws. The law of striving is another creational natural law. A third very important law is the law of harmony. And that means keeping your thoughts in a neutral, positive state of mind. That means you should never be down. You should never be negative. You should never be overly egregiously enthusiastic either, because that will lead into the universe slapping you back down so you're more neutral. Now, there's also something, those are creational natural laws. The law of love, the law of striving, the law of harmony. There are also something called recommendations or directives, which are designed to give us specific guidance in a given direction. One of those would be shall not kill and depravity. Another one is you shall not steal from others. These are real basic recommendations or directives. Billy Edward Albert Meyer, his spirit form is very ancient. And his spirit form is the universal prophet. Each universe brings forth a universal prophet who is repeatedly materializing again as a human being in order to help the various human kinds to speed up their evolution. And evolution is a very important concept. Every different living being has different kinds of evolution. One example of evolution is called the conscious evolution of the consciousness, which is the kind of evolution the human life form goes through. Plants have an impulse evolution. Animals have an instinct evolution. And higher animals also have an intelligence evolution. All of this kinds of evolution, all of this is normal. Now, if we go back something like 9.6 billion years ago, we have the first part of the Nocodemian lineage that we know of. Nocodemian was a creation of the planet Sadar, S-A-D-R, which was in the Warren star system, which the Warren star system moved in what's called the Lyran galaxy, which is about 3.8 billion light years from our solar system. And this Nocodemian was the first incarnated personality of the spirit form that currently inhabits Billy Edward Albert Meyer. Nocodemian is called the Unblemished One, and he was born 9.6 billion years ago. The second incarnation in the lineage was a man named Hanok. The name was spelled with a K. He was born 8 billion years ago, and sometimes is called the Wise Man of Time. There was a man named Semyasa, who was born 389,000 years ago on Earth. And that was during the time when the Lyrians were here. And I also believe that is the time of the first Atlantis. There's actually two Atlantises talked about in the Meyer material. I have not really studied about the first one yet. I don't think that contact report has been translated into English. But 389,000 years ago, Semyasa I fathered the first Adam during Atlantis and Lemuria I. Now, 13,000 years ago, Semyasa II fathered Adam, the second Adam, during Atlantis II. There were two Atlantises, two Semyasas, two Adams. The second Semyasa was a scientist who worked under Eris the Barbarian, and he fathered the second Adam 13,035 years ago. Well, Semyasa I and Semyasa II were earlier personalities of Edward Albert Meyer. Semyasa II is mentioned in Contact Report 9. Starting at line 145, it says that Semyasa was the highest leaders of the sub-leaders. There were 200 sub-leaders who worked under Eris the Barbarian, who came here from Beta Centauri. He landed in the northern part of the planet, which was extremely beautiful at that time, and they had the best climate on the planet. There were trees of various kinds, especially fruit trees. It wasn't a snowy, cold place at all. It was just the opposite. It was the best climate on Earth. It was called Hyperborea. And Semyasa, the highest leaders of these sub-leaders, mated with an Eva, a female human being who was still mostly human-like. And these Evas were left over from the time of about 389,000 years ago. The Evas were Earth humans and or Lyrians that had been stranded on the Earth. See, some of these Lyrians violated certain rules and laws, and they mated with Earth peoples and committed certain crimes. And because of their crimes, they were, at least part of them, were left here as a punishment. I'm not saying that Semyasa I was left here as a punishment, but some of them were left here as a punishment. Semyasa I, Semyasa II, Henoch, and Nokodamian were all part of this reincarnating spirit form that was on the earth to help speed up our evolution. The second Adam, his name meant earth human being. And they also, at that time, had an Eve to go along with Adam. So, and that was in Contact Report 9. That was 13,000 years ago. Roughly about that time was another incarnation, another previous incarnation of the Meyer spirit form, a guy called Henoch, or Henoch the First, who was born about 13,500 years ago, again during the second Atlantis. Henoch wrote the Henoch prophecies we talk about in Contact Report 215. The Henoch prophecies relate directly to the time that we're in. We're on the verge of potentially fulfilling some of these prophecies that deal with two civil wars in the U.S. and the breakup of the United States in the five different areas, and even greater disasters related to atomic weapons, chemical weapons being released by automated systems that run outside of human control. These are things that are talked about in the Henoch prophecies. Also, Henoch composed an interesting prayer. And this prayer was actually directed to the material consciousness block of Henoch. He was a kind of praying to his own consciousness. And each human being has a spiritual consciousness and a material consciousness. And at that time, there were no words or words to describe the material consciousness block. Remember, we have a spiritual consciousness and a material consciousness. The spiritual consciousness is where your spirit form is. Your spirit form is the part of you that never dies. It learns during each one of your incarnations. It absorbs all of the experiences of the lifetime. It does this in the spirit realm. When you die, your spirit form comes out of your body, as your material consciousness does, and it goes into this other realm that's another dimension, basically right where we're at. And the spirit form absorbs the essences of your knowledge and your experience. Like, it absorbs the neutral positive essence of your logic and your love and your reasonableness and your friendliness and your humaneness and your sense of integrity, all these different kinds of things, your logic, your discernment, your spirit form absorbs all of these virtues that your material consciousness attained through striving during its previous life. So it's important that we learn to control our thinking during your material lifetime. By controlling our thoughts and feelings, we make this effort to live according to these creational natural laws. And in this way, you eventually become the master of your own life. Let me read a little bit of this original prayer by Henoch. It says, "My spirit, you are almighty. Your name shall be honored. Your realm shall open, incarnate within me. Your might shall unfold within me, on earths and in universes. Give me my daily bread," meaning love and wisdom, "today, so I recognize my responsibility and I recognize the truth. And do not throw me into confusion and delusion, but release me from my misunderstanding. For the realm, the power of knowledge within me are yours in eternity." It's a very interesting prayer of Henoch. This, again, is one of the previous personalities of Edward Albert Meyer. And again, at the time of Henoch, the North Pole was different than it is today. And through various different cosmic influences, the North Pole eventually shifted far to the west. And that was when the Lemurians brought that great asteroid to slam into the Earth. But up until that point, the North Pole was a beautiful area, a wondrous landscape filled with palm trees and tropical vegetation. And it's described more in Contact Report 39. 9,308 years ago was Henoch II. Henoch III was born about 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. In 891 B.C. was Elijah, who was also known as Elijah. We call him Elijah today. He was called the lover of creation. And also, Ishwish is my teacher. His disciple was named Elias and is mentioned in the Talmud of Emmanuel. In Contact Report 229, it is explained that Elijah was flown to Srinagar, Kashmir in India on a beam ship on April 7th, 842 BC. Contact Report 230 talks about the predictions of the prophet Elijah. Elijah writes about Billy in this way. Elijah, who was a previous personality of Billy, writes about Billy in this contract report, and this, it's he writes these words: "He will be a seeing and a knowing one, and a mediator whose hand writes down the words of those who will come from the stars. And he will be the third one to follow me will be a continuation in the living again of those prophets who were before me as other personalities of me. And the herald will wait for the right day on the mountain of the horseshoe, where he will have his homestead. That is Hinterish Midriti, I've talked about before, where a flag will flutter in the wind as a sign of the bond with the human beings of the sky. In 772 BC, we have the man that we call today Isaiah, again, a previous personality of Edward Albert Meyer. And Isaiah was known as the one with creational healing, or the one with Ishwish healing. An interesting thing about Isaiah is Isaiah wrote in chapter 7, verse 14 of the old book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, and he talked about Emmanuel, and that this prophet Emmanuel was coming. His name will be Emmanuel, is said in the book of Isaiah, just as it also says the same in the book of Matthew. Not Jesus, but Emmanuel. And it's still in the Bible that way, too, if you wonder what the name of the real prophet was. In any case, after Isaiah, we have Jeremiah, who is the one, he's known as the one raised by the gods. He was born in 662 BC. The next incarnation of the Meyer spirit form is a man named Socrates, who was born in Athens in 469 BC. And then after Socrates came Aristotle. He was born in 349 BC. And then the next incarnation of the Meyer spirit form is Emmanuel, the one with divine knowledge, with the Ishwish knowledge. Unfortunately, today he's called Jesus. And I have an interesting side study that I love to go into that talks about how there was no letter J in the ancient world except for in Lyrian. So he was never called Jesus in the ancient world. In Latin, his name was spelled I-E-S-U-S, which was pronounced as Jesus. But that came later. He wasn't even called Jesus until later. Some argue that he was called Yeshua in the Hebrew. But as time goes on, I am convinced more and more, although I can't prove it, that his name probably most likely was Emmanuel, as was prophesied by Isaiah and was also described specifically by Matthew, who did not say his title was Emmanuel, but that his name was Emmanuel. Anyway, Muhammad was born in 571 AD, the next incarnation of the Meyer spirit form. And then we jump all the way to 1480 AD when Johann Georg Faust was born, who was an alchemist and astrologer. He was a man in the German Renaissance. In 1564, the next Meyer spirit form is Galileo Galilei, who taught us all that the sun is the center of the solar system, and all the planets, including the Earth, revolve around the sun. And he was almost killed for that. The religions of the day almost killed him. They put him under house arrest for teaching people that. 1756, the Meyer spirit form appears again, this time as Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, who was a great composer, a keyboardist, and a violinist. And he wrote many well-known symphonies, concertos, operas. The next incarnation of the Meyer spirit form was in 1809, and this individual grew up to be Mendelssohn, who was a fantastic German composer, a pianist. And the next incarnation of the Meyer spirit form was in 1869, and there's a very unusual man named Rasputin, who historically was said to have lived a life of lax morals, which the Maya material says is false. But he was a monk. He was a kind of a traveling preacher, and he taught people to heal themselves through their own thinking. His name was Rasputin. He's talked about in Contact Report 487. And of course, we've talked about Billy, who was born in 1937. Billy means protector. Edward means guardian of the treasure. Albert means the shining one. Meyer means supervisor of practicing the respected, the higher standing. He is considered the prophet of the new time. And speaking of time, we're starting to run a little bit out of time, so I'm going to have to just briefly cover something. And it is about the important information related to occult powers and meditation. And the Meyer material says we are actually able to create spirits, although create is not the right word, through the power of our own thoughts and feelings. It's more like the father creates a child through his sperm. Not that he's physically in there shaping the child's body or anything, but he indirectly creates the child. And so we indirectly create these spirits. The Wesenheiten, again, is a non-translatable German word for immaterial or material forms of existence without a self-determining possibility of evolution. The universal consciousness is called a Wesenheiten, certain energy, stones, waters, gases. And Marion from Switzerland, who works directly with Billy, says that these spirits come through wrong meditation, and where meditating human beings imagine things. Sometimes they humans have problems and they imagine help, and the stronger they wish for such help, the more these spirits manifest, these Wesenheiten. They're created through our unconscious powers. So they're kind of created indirectly, much like the man prepares the sperm before the child is conceived. So the man doesn't create the child, neither does the woman. These things happen in the woman's body. The creation of the child according to creational natural laws. So be very careful what you think about and what you wish for, because it is possible that these spirits, they can manifest indirectly through the power of our thoughts and feelings. Now, there is something else called the we form. And we on Earth, we are building a we form in material consciousness and spiritual connectedness. So we must remember that the humans here on Earth are a we form. And we are connected more or less with one another through our thoughts and feelings, as well as through our subconsciousness. So you need to nourish the neutral positive thoughts and strengthen them. If you strengthen negative thoughts, you can adversely affect the others that are also in this same we form. So be careful very much what you think. Anyway, I thought I would leave some words of the Meyer material with those who are interested. I hope all the folks that listen to this archive are blessed. And we'll talk to you next time. I got some guests coming up this week, so I thought it would be good to hit the Meyer material before we talk to some of these guests. See you. Have a good evening.